all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
All right, everyone out there, raise your hand if you want bigger breasts. Yeah, that's right. Breast augmentation. And what can I say, Michelle? How many women do you know who've undergone this, who want to do this, and have a million and a half questions?
Boy, there are so many, including myself. I'm going to admit it. I mean, there's so much more to this than women think. And I don't think they're always told everything. So we're really happy to have Dr. Peter Geldner here today. He can really help us put this in perspective.
So he's one of Chicago's premier plastic surgeons and the founder of the Geldner Center in Chicago. Welcome to our show, the Her Show, Dr. Geldner, to help us understand and answer some questions about, if you want to undergo breast augmentation, what should you be thinking about? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, let's just dive in there. A woman is just beginning that thought process. She says, you know, I think this is what I want. How can you help guide them?
You know, I was listening to the stuff in the background as I was on hold, and I really like your byline, it's all about her. And I think we have to always remember, it's all about her. It's about the patient. It's about what the patient wishes. Every woman, at some point or another, knows what she wants to look like. We can say the same thing about men. All men know what they want to look like, too, but we're not talking about that at the moment. So if you have an event, if you have a charity event, if you have a wedding, if you have a party, and you really want to look like you want to look, you can make it happen. You can go to whatever lingerie store. I usually refer to Victoria's Secret, but not that by way of endorsement. But you can walk in there, and you can walk out looking like Pam Anderson, or you can walk out looking like a boy. It's entirely up to you. So if we make the assumption, which I do on a daily basis, that women have the right to do this operation, to do it safely, to do it well, then why not give the patient what they want? And at least fulfill those expectations that the patient has. So the most important thing is so that the individual has an idea of what they want to look like and what is their goal. Once we have that, then the rest of it is fairly straightforward.
Fantastic.
Now, do some women come in and they say to you, Peter, I want to be a double D, a triple D, and they're, 95 pounds, and you know that this isn't going to look good on them. How do you navigate that?
I think that going back to the key premise, and that's that the patient kind of knows what they want. I understand what your question is, and I know that's how do you deal with an unrealistic individual, somebody who thinks that they're going to really make something happen. The short answer to that is, if I don't give them what they want, somebody down the street will, and possibly with consequences that they don't have any clue about. Mm-hmm. So how do I do that? The first thing we do is we talk. And before I do anything else, I want them to understand what are the risks and potential complications. What are the things that can go bump in the night that can ruin your day? And some of these have to do with how will the implants look. Will they be rippling? Will there be contour irregularities? Will there be pain? Are they going to be suffering from back pain as somebody who has breast hypertrophy or excessively large breasts? Maybe. What about risks such as capsular contracture, which is a real hot-ticket item? What about issues such as infection, bleeding, those types of things? They're all really important. Once we have that established, once I know that I am talking to somebody who is a reasonable adult, and we've discussed all of these things, not in great depth, although I'll go as deep as they want me to go in any of these topics, then what I do is I have them try different implants just to get an idea of what they want. And usually we do that in clothing because that's how many people think of themselves. They don't really envision themselves in the nude, but they do in terms of how they would look in clothing. Then I take that information and I put them on a computer, take a three-dimensional photo, And this is a very nice system. I'm on my second manufacturer of this type of software, third incarnation of this, where you can actually reliably and unambiguously demonstrate what they would look like, not only with implants, but with specific implants. So it's not saying, gee, I want to be this or I want to be that, but you can actually say, this is exactly this implant made by this manufacturer, and this is what I think it's going to be like. What's important about this is that it kind of blows the door off unrealistic expectations. If a patient really is going to look silly, they're going to look silly, and they can see it right there. There's no dancing around that one. Mm-hmm. So why would they want to look silly? Well, because the friend of theirs had 700cc implants placed, and they look great, but they also happen to be 7 feet tall and broad-shouldered, and this person's 95 pounds and about 4'11". It just doesn't fly. So the point is that it brings that gee whiz concept, and it makes it into reality. You can actually demonstrate what you want. And in this way, you can communicate effectively. What are the things that you're after? What can it potentially look like? What are the downsides?
So what's the difference between the silicon breast implant or the saline? I mean, if a woman's just sitting here, and now we're talking technical.
Okay. I've been doing this for 23 years. There was a period of time between 1992 and about 2006, I believe, where I could only use saline implants for first-time augmentations. And that was because the FDA was doing studies, and they were looking at the safety and the efficacy of these breast implants, the gel implants. And the answers that were provided by the companies were not satisfactory. Well, I looked at the questions, I looked at the answers, and I have to agree with the FDA. It was not satisfactory. But their response was to basically create different classes of patients. After 1992, I could still use silicone gel implants to replace a saline implant, to replace a gel implant, in reconstruction, and in breast lifts. The only category of patients that could not get them were those patients who wanted to have a first-time augmentation. So there was an embargo, essentially. So you get kind of good at doing this operation, and you realize that saline implants are not the boogeyman. They actually can be done very well, and you get excellent results. The irony is that nowadays I see some patients who are 10 years, 15 years out from their surgery. They come in and they ask, what do I need to do? I look at them, they look wonderful, they feel wonderful, they're happy as can be. So what do they need to do? Nothing, just keep in touch with me, let me know what's going on. And if there's a problem, if there's a deflation, then let's talk about it and let's talk about different options. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with saline implants. There are some potential downs. They tend to feel like saline implants. Mm-hmm. What's that? Well, it kind of feels like a saline implant. It's a water bag. So you will feel some of those movements on the side, kind of akin to what you feel like when you're pressing on a waterbed. It feels a little different. The gel implants were the standard ones, and these have been around since the 1960s. The type of gel that we use is very different today than it was then. It's much thicker, and it tends to stick to itself. So it's not like in the old days where it would sneak out and you'd have little puddles of silicone, very light silicone gel in different locations. Please.
Wow.
So we have different types of implants, and the new type of implants that we have now are the cohesive gel implants, and these are very often shaped implants, and there are certain advantages in that if one of these breaks, the stuff sticks right there. It's almost a semi-solid.
Well, you know something, just listening to you, I see now that you've really helped us with options and to really understand the different types of implants. Dr. Peter Geldner, we can't begin to thank you for helping us answer our questions about these kinds of options, silicone, saline, and all the rest. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King-Robson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Radio MD. Stay well.